Chapter 18, Acts chapter 18, give you a second to get there. And boy, I tell you, I'm glad we got the rain, man. It was getting pretty dry, and we don't have a fire. You know, I like to go out to Colorado, man. They are having more trouble with fires. They got another big fire going on out there. It was burning 6,000 acres an hour, and it was heading towards Estes Park. And Estes Park's a really cool town. You go there in the fall, like the elk walk right down main part of town. All those pictures we had where the people on bicycles and bull elk going by. Yeah, they had to evacuate the place. So they're really having a time with fire out there. So I guess they need our prayers. Acts chapter 18, verse 1. The Bible says, after these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy, with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, Your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. And he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. And then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. Heavenly Father, again, I come to you. Lord, just ask that you meet with us this morning. Speak to our hearts again, and just pray that you bless the message. Lord, you know our needs. Lord, you know our hearts. And Lord, so commit them into your care this day, and I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message today is Be Not Afraid, Encouragement for the Times. Be not afraid, encouragement for the times. That's our key verse there in verse 9 and 10. The Lord spoke to Paul, be not afraid. And then he said in verse 10, he said, For I am with thee. That's an encouraging word right there. Now, last week I was speaking about Paul had been in Athens right before he came to Corinth. And Athens was in Greece, and Athens was a city that was full of idolatry. I mean, they had idols for everything. They worshipped everything. And I spoke about that last week. And so he's left that scene. And last week we looked at they had an altar to the unknown God, and that gave Paul a point to preach on. But now he comes to Corinth. And where Athens was full of idolatry, not that Corinth didn't have it, but Corinth was full of corruption. I mean, man, it was all kind of immorality going on in the city of Corinth. And to get a handle on what Paul saw in his day, and I want us to kind of, you know, parallel we look in this day. If you look in Romans chapter 1, I'm going to read to you there out of chapter 1. And the reason I'm picking that is because Paul was in Corinth when he wrote the Roman letter. So Paul was in Corinth seeing what he sees, but he wrote the Roman letter. And in Romans chapter 1, verse 21, he says this. Because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, of birds, or two birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lusts one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. When you look at, and I read those to you, and I said Paul was in Corinth, and when we read that description, it sounds like I'm reading out of the newspaper anywhere in the world today. I mean, it sounds just like the situation that we see that's going on and we hear about constantly by the news media. And so here's the city, and it talked about worshiping those idols. Paul had been to Athens, and now he came to Corinth. And not that they didn't have them, but, you know, this is what he saw in the world. And we're seeing things in the world as well. We see the same things in his day. Isn't it amazing that would fit, written that long ago, that would fit in context with society today? It fits exactly in society today, exactly like the world today. So Paul goes to this city. He dwelt there. He lived there. Said he worked there. He was a tent maker, and he was there a year and 6 months, so a year and a half. He was in the midst of that. And so with that thought in mind, I got 3 points I want to hopefully encourage us today, you know, in the times that we live in today, and to help you along if you're sweating and fretting about anything going on in the world today. The very first point is we see the peril or the danger, the word for danger, the peril. The text doesn't say anything about Paul. Paul doesn't express his own self in either one of those texts that I read that he was afraid of anything. But the Lord spoke to him in a vision, it says in verse 9, and the first thing the Lord said was, be not afraid. Be not afraid. And, you know, Paul probably had the same kinds of fears, maybe living in a corrupt society that you and I have, you know, maybe looking at the things, the signs of the times. He probably had the same kind of fears. I think probably Paul had some other fears, and depending on how faithful you are to serving God, you know, you would have perhaps the same fears. You know, Paul probably had a fear born of an overwhelming sense of that corruption in the city. Man, when I look around at the wickedness and stuff that's going on in the world and the stuff that, I mean, it's just in my lifetime, in my span, you know, it was a lot has happened. Anybody that's in my age group from the time, say, I was even just, it was bad enough in the 60s and 70s, trust me. But you know, when we start looking at the stuff, I mean, you know, years ago, people used to, like, hide sin. I mean, they would hide it. And, you know, even if they were going to do it, you know, they'd get to the old family reunion get-togethers, and, you know, all the men would be looking around, and you know, they'd kind of slip off together in a little huddle, and pretty soon the wives would look around, and they couldn't find none of the men because they done got out behind the barn somewhere, and they was, you know, got a little glass jar there. You know, they was at least hiding. You know, now people just flaunt it. You know, I mean, it's everywhere you go. So, I mean, that's a little minor illustration. I understand that, but I mean, sin is just, it's promoted. You know, people came out of the closets, and I wish they'd go back in. And, you know, we got all the things that go on in the world that, you know, it's like, and it's accepted. You know, even in the text in Romans I read, not only do those things that have pleasure in those that do them, them that do them, I see so society starts accepting. And now they're calling, as Isaiah said, calling good evil and evil good. And if you stand for goodness, you know what happens in this world. If you stand for goodness, man, you start getting names called, which don't bother me that much. They start calling you names and they ostracize you, and there's something wrong. And society is trying to make people that are living for God, they're trying to live for God, to make them look like there's something's wrong with, you know, something's wrong with you. Which I know something's wrong with me, but that's not one of them. That's not one of the things. They're trying to say something's wrong with you, know, to make you look like the odd person. And they call you all kind of, you know, untrue names, you know, like that, you know, you're bigots or, you know, not tolerant. Listen, I'm going to tell you what, there's nothing more intolerant than a liberal when it comes to facing a conservative. I mean, that's just, they're intolerant of anybody that doesn't agree with how they think. That's the intolerance that we see in the world today. But anyway, don't get me started on that. So he had a fear about the overwhelming sense of corruption that he saw in the city. I think there's Christian folks that are really worried about, I mean, you should be, you ought to have some kind of concern. We're not to worry, but we have a concern, right, about when we see all the corruption, and it seems almost overwhelming. You know, it's just like a snowball that's going. He had a fear about the impossibility of doing anything worth doing. You know, you almost think like, man, what? It just looks like when we see the, and you know, the worst thing you can do is watch the news, 5 major causes of depression, CNN, ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox News, you know. You watch that stuff, and it just looks like, you know, what can we do? But fear not, I am with thee, the Lord said. And so, you know, but in our human side, it's like, man, you know, man, here we are in Buchanan, Virginia, Botetourt County, not the hotbed of anything going on. I mean, you know, we're in minutia, you know, but hey, God's with us, right? I mean, God's with us, so, you know, we can do something. And so, you know, we look around as Christians today, just the biggies that are on the screen. You know, we got the corruption that I just spoke about. Then we got the COVID-19 thing. We're worried about that. And then we got an election coming up that, I mean, it's probably as critical of election. I mean, they're all critical, but it's pretty critical. We're talking about a whole new way of life either way, you know, way you go. And you know, I never realized until, I mean, I knew it, but I really have seen more of it in this day and time. The news media can spin anything any way they want and make it appear a certain way. And I did a little news report. I was given COVID statistics one time since all this has started. And I give you the statistics like the news media portrayed them, but then I turned around and I put a different spin on them. Give you the same statistics, but I did it in a different light. And it sounded a whole lot better. Remember that? It just sounded better. It just depends on how you spin it. And so what happens? I mean, you know, you can't, listen, if CNN is saying it, it's a lie. I'm going to tell you that right now. You can't believe nothing CNN puts on the news, man. I mean, it's just about always messed up. Although I did see the other day, man, they kind of nailed somebody that I didn't think they would, caught him in a lie. But you know, most of it, it's and so what happens is this news is coming through, and they don't put nothing on their good, most of the news things. It's always got to be something dramatic. Somebody got kidnapped, murdered, raped, somebody's missing. We got, you know, some kind of crime, some kind of violence, some kind of, and you know, because people watch that stuff. You know, they watch that, they watch it. And so that's what they put on the news. And so, you know, when we look at all that, you don't realize it or not. You know, after a while, you can kind of get kind of gloomy, you know. And it's like, man, you're down in the dumps. What's wrong? I don't know. You know, it's just everything is bad. It seems like it. And now, you know, we got the election business going on. Good grief. It's really not about parties anymore. And I'm not afraid to say it's good and evil. It's good and evil. Man, I've never seen, it's never, you know, been like this, as bad as it is right now. And the media spins everything in it. And if you watch that, it looks like the evil is defeating the good. But I'm here to tell you it's not. It's not, you know, it's just been, I read some things, you know, I'll watch some stuff and I'll look and I'll look on Facebook and get some things and I'll read commentaries on political things and stuff. It just depends on who you read, man. You read one guy and you think, good grief, man, we're doomed. Then you read the next two guys and think, oh, man, this is great. It just depends on how you read it. You know, you got to see. And so Christians get in a panic. You know, we get kind of worried. Well, what are we going to do? What are we going to do about things? What are we going to do if the election doesn't go our way? Well, I'm going to tell you, I'm in God's hands no matter what, how the election goes. I mean, I you know, he's with me no matter how the election goes. I understand that. I got to keep my faith in that. And I'm always going to be in God's hands. So I always have that right there, that thought right there, that I'm in God's hands. It doesn't, you know, nothing really, and listen, no party is going to save us anyway. No party's going to bail us out. There's, you know, I mean, we got the vote right ways, and I understand that. But listen, it's Jesus Christ. I mean, we've got to trust Jesus Christ. That's where we got to put our faith. And so when you think about Paul had the same kind of concerns. I don't know about election things. He didn't have to deal with COVID, but man, he had evil everywhere. It was just as bad or maybe even worse in some degree than it is, or at least as bad as it is today right there. And so the Lord speaks to Paul in this vision in verse 9. The very first thing he said, listen, be not afraid. Because why? Because the Lord knew his heart. And I'm going to tell you what, the Lord knows your heart. It doesn't matter what it is. The Lord knows our hearts. I mean, he just knew it. And so the very first thing, be not afraid. He said, but speak. He told him to speak and hold not thy peace right there. Man, so that's the first thing we see is we see the peril, but then we see the power. Here's the power, you know, in verse 9, this is the Lord speaking. He said, listen, speak, don't hold thy peace. He said, no man's going to set on thee to hurt thee. Man, the other day, you know, I try to stay off the Facebook as far as, there's a ton of things I could say. Ooh, man, self-control. You know, I try to just put Christian things and this and that. But I saw this thing. I get this thing came up on my phone. It's this Virginia news feed thing. And, you know, they were talking about the stats of COVID in Virginia. And I guess one of the stats had gone down. Something had kind of gone down. And somebody said, oh, thank God for Governor Northam You know, thank God he's out there working hard to save lives. And man, I just couldn't help myself. Man, I cracked the old knuckle. I'm a one-finger typer, buddy. I got that thing worked out there. And I got on there, and I made this comment. I said, he's not working hard to save your life if you're in the womb. Right? Governor, he's not working hard to save your life if you're in the womb. And I got a couple of positive comments, but this one guy, he's up Northern Virginia, so that explains half of it. He said, can't believe you're a pastor. Well, you know, I don't mind a personal attack. I mean, you know, but he's attacking the office of a pastor. And I had to defend that. Huh? So I got out my finger and my phone and I put, why? Because I told the truth. He couldn't believe I was a pastor. And I said, why? Because I told the truth. And he said, you don't get it. Like I needed him to tell me. You don't get it. He said, what if your daughter, your granddaughter was a victim of date rape, or your loved one was, a medical, I forgot how you worded it, but it was a medical emergency when she was about to deliver and had to make a choice between, you know. And so I typed back, and I got that. I said, I typed back to him, and I said, I said, millions of abortions aren't the result of date rape and medical emergencies. I said, people are using it for birth control. And I said, if an abortion's not murder, how come if a pregnant woman is killed, they call it a double homicide? Well, he got his old finger going too. And he typed back and he said, you're a hypocrite. Which I am. He said, you're a hypocrite. He said, after looking through your Facebook page, I can see you're a typical Republican Trump supporter. And I forgot what, he said you can't have it both ways, which I didn't understand that. He's the one trying to have it both ways. They want to have abortion, but then if a baby's killed, it's murder, for crying out loud. That's not having it both ways. And I could see how I did have a little common sense. I know I could see how the argument was going to go. So when he said I was a typical Republican Trump supporter, I said, thank you. And that ended the conversation. I mean, he didn't type back no more. I said, thank you. But a lady came to my defense. And what's really cool is this happened before I did this text right here. And I didn't read this far, but right down below this, when Paul started preaching the gospel, when you go to the next verses, like 12 on down through there, the Jews kind of went after Paul, and they said he was causing an insurrection, and they had a little riot going on, and they brought him before the deputy of Achaia, and they brought him up there, and Paul was about, it says in verse 14, and Paul was now about to open his mouth, and Gallio, that's the chief deputy, said unto the Jews, he said, if it was a matter of wrong or wickedness or lewdness, O ye Jews, O ye Jews, reason would that I should bear with you. And anyway, I don't have to read it all, but what it was this guy came to Paul's defense. He didn't have to answer a thing. The deputy came to his defense. And so another lady put on there after this, they could read what was going on. And she put, he couldn't be a man of God if he thought about abortion any other way. Man, I didn't have to say nothing, man. I mean, I was done. Retired my finger from typing on that thing right there. But, you know, that this is what happened, you know, and so then I read that right there, and Sherry says, she goes, well, you know, you probably shouldn't get on there because you get all worked up and, But see, look what it said. Be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace. Hey, that I think one of the biggest problems in Christianity today is the Christians sat back and didn't do nothing when people stirred up and stood up and went up against a cause or this and that, and we all said, oh, it's not going to happen. Yeah, listen, those of you that are old enough, remember when prayer got taken out of school. One woman, Madeline Murray O'Hare, she went up and challenged the court on having prayer in school, and you know what happened? You know who came? You know what? And back then, there was, like there is now, there's millions and millions of Christians in America. You know what they did? Nothing. Just sat around, oh, they ain't going to take prayer at school. What's for dinner, honey? Huh? And guess what happened? That's our problem. We don't stand up for what's right. people got to hear the voices. And what happened? We did it for so long that the non-Christians and the liberals out there think that there's hardly any Christians out there. They think, oh, listen, we're going to be able to change America just like the way we want it, and nobody's going to stand against it. And then they couldn't believe how they lost the last election. They couldn't believe it because what happened? The Christians stood up. But what it is, we've been so quiet for so long, they can't believe that there's that many people out there to think this way, according to the Word of God. But there are. There are people that think that way because we've been quiet. So he said, he told him to stand up and speak. Jesus said, I am with thee. Man, that's everything. If he's with us, that's it. Where's the fear? What are you worried about? Man, if he's with us, what's that? Man, he's praying for me. He told Peter he prayed for him. I know good and well he's praying for me as well. He's praying for you as well. If the Lord's praying for you, what are you worried about? I'm not worried about anything. And this is what he said. I have much people in verse city. I have much people in this city. Now, what he's talking about there, he's not talking about people that are already saved. He's talking about there's much people in the city that need to be saved. Now, the Lord's omniscient. He knows it. He knows who's going to be saved. He said, listen, don't fear. Speak. I'll be with thee. Nobody's going to harm thee because I got much people. In other words, I got people out here that are going to trust me. They're going to be saved because the Lord knows in his omniscience who's going to be saved. Right? He knew that. And so that's what he wanted to do. Because the Lord knows. He knew every heart in the city. Even though the city was corrupt, he knew that there was restlessness. There was people that were restless. There were people that were unhappy. There were people that were unsatisfied. And they had a desire for something else. And listen, there's people in the world like that today. I don't tell you what, I don't fool around with a whole lot of people that don't. If they're not interested in the gospel, that's their problem. I mean, I'm not going to go out there and beg them and plead and argue with them and pound them in the head and try to give them the message. Listen, if you want to know something about the gospel, I'll share it with you. I'll tell you if you don't know nothing, if you're not even looking. I'll tell you about it. And if you got an interest, I'll keep on talking to you. If you're disinterested, that's fine. You know, I'll pray for you. I'll feel sorry for you. I want everybody to be saved. But listen, Jesus didn't waste his time with a lot of people that didn't want to hear it. He talked to the ones that didn't want to hear it, man, and he went on his way. And I mean, that's it. I mean, he loved them just the same, and he loved them. He wanted them to be saved. But there's people that are out there that are restless. There's people that are restless and don't know why. They don't know why. What's wrong with them? They're looking for something. They don't even know what it is. I know what it is. They don't know what it is. And I try to take the gospel to those people right there. And that's what Paul said. And that's what the Lord told him to do. And from that moment on, when Paul was going through the city, instead of being afraid, instead of worrying about what's going on, every time he looked somebody in the eye, he said, right there, that might be somebody. That might be one of them right there, one of the ones that the Lord has in this city. You might be the one. You might be the one. And I mean, you know what? Harold always preaches about this. We went to a meeting one time, and it was about your assignment. That he preached a message about your assignment. But in that, he talked about focusing on your assignment. You know, focusing on it. Listen, Christian, what's our assignment? Go into all the world and preach the gospel. I mean, somebody put on Facebook the other day, I wonder why the churches weren't full. How come the churches aren't full? And I answered, I said, the reason the churches aren't full is because instead of the churches practicing the Great Commission, they practice the Great Omission. And instead of going out in all the world and preaching the gospel, they sit in the church waiting on the lost people to come to them. And that's not how it works. You got to take the gospel out to somebody. So that's the main reason right there. Yesterday, man, listen, I tell you, I had a blessing yesterday. This guy called. He was supposed to call me. He worked for Verizon. He was supposed to call and talk about our plan that we had here at the church with me like weeks ago. But you know, God's got a timetable, man. It's always God's time. And I done forgot about it. I mean, the guy, it's been so long ago, they told me he was going to call. And this guy said, man, I'm sorry I took so long. He said, you kind of fell through the cracks, but I saw this, I'm going to call you. It was on Saturday, right? And we started talking about this thing here. And then we started talking about the virus, you know, topic everybody talks about. Then we started talking about the election thing, and, you know, you're kind of feeling everybody out because you don't know where their head's at. But we were on the same page. We started talking about that. And then he started, you know, and here I talked to this guy for like an hour and 10 minutes on the phone, right? And then he started talking about his kids. He said, I got an 18-year-old daughter, and she's kind of getting rebellious. He said, not real bad, but, you know, all 18-year-olds get rebellious to a certain degree. Most of them do, you know, they start feeling like. And he said, you know, we argue about is she's listening. She thinks everything the school teacher tells them, the school teachers are teaching is right. And everything that the news, I said, Lord knows she does need help. said, seeing everything the news tells, and we argue about that, about philosophies and things. And he said, I got a younger son, and he goes, and the man told me, he said, I made one mistake with my daughter. I didn't counter any of that. And he said, with my son, I'm not going to let it happen. And man, I'm slow, but that old brain kicked into gear. And I'm thinking, man, here you are. You're a pastor, a preacher of the gospel. You haven't talked to this guy about the Lord not one time. Been on the phone for an hour and 10 minutes. I told you I was slow. And so I said, you know what? And he was talking about agendas, people having agendas. We had talked about that during the political thing. And then he said, and I told him, and then I put it all together, and I said, you know something? I said, listen, your daughter, the world has an agenda too. Satan has an agenda, and he's using the world. And I said, let me ask you something. You know, I'm a pastor. And he said, yeah. I said, you going to church anywhere? And he said, you know, no, sir. He said, I'm not. I used to go to a brethren church and all. He goes, well, let me give you a background, though. He said, my dad is a Jew for Jesus. So his dad is a Jew that got converted to Christianity. And I don't know if you've ever been around a Jew that got converted to Christianity, man. What a blessing they are, man, because they get it. When they get it, they get it. They know what the deal is. And I'm telling you what, I said, oh, my gosh. I said, boy, what a blessing, man, that your dad is. He goes, yeah, my dad talks to me about this a lot and all that. And he goes, and listen, I'm open to it, you know. And he started talking about his friends. But I said, you know, the thing that got me when you talked about your daughter, I said, now listen, there is an agenda. You're right. And I said, there's this world philosophy that the teachers and the news media are pushing on her. I said, you need to be saved. I said, first you need to get saved and you need to get your family in church. And I said, because listen, the other side of the coin, the other agenda, the opposition, and you're leaning, you're already wanting to go that way, but you don't have any weapons. I said, listen, the government's not going to teach her about God. The school's not going to do it. The world philosophy's not going to do it. I said, man, what you need to do, you need to get saved, man. And I said, you know what it is? Then you can bring your kids to church and get them, and they can get something else besides. Because I'm going to tell you what, we're teaching the Word of God. Listen, it's going to be in direct opposition to what the world is teaching. I mean, it can't help it be. That's it. And so, I mean, man, I tell you what. And this guy, man, he was excited about it. I want you all to pray for him. His name is Chris. I told him we were on Facebook. I don't know if he's watching. I pray he's watching. But I said, you know, I'm going to pray for you. And I'm going to pray for you every day. And he asked me, he said, man, when can we get together? When can I talk to you again? I said, you can talk to me anytime. Anytime. I said, I'm going to call you. I got his number. He gave me his number down. As a matter of fact, it's written right there. Right in my notes. I wrote it down at the top of the page. I was putting these in the same notebook. And so I said, can I pray with you over the phone? He said, yeah, that'd be good. And I prayed with him. He was at work. Man, I just prayed for him and his family. So I think God's dealing with him. God's dealing with him. And I can look back in my life and I remember, I mean, I was 32 years old before I got saved. My daughter, thank God, my daughter Danielle, she was just a baby. She was just not even a year old yet. She was over there in diapers and she was smacking that spring-loaded door stoppers that you put in, you know, and the preacher was talking, man, I was under conviction. It was like she was driving me crazy, man. I had to get saved. I was about to lose my mind. But I'm thankful, you know, as a dad that I got saved. And listen, man, I mean, I had baggage. Good grief. I could be here all day telling you. You wouldn't believe what I could tell you. And I didn't know how God was going to deal with all that. But God did it. You know, God just dealt with it. And over the years, and, you know, he started, you know, conforming me and to his image, you know, still doing that. And man, we went and you know, I got my kids in. Kyle came along, so he didn't know nothing. But, you know, of course, neither one of them knew nothing. They known church all their life. And they're all, you know, Kyle's on call today. Daniel and Brian couldn't be here. But, you know, they're always in church with us. And you know, thank God for that I got saved. And thank God. And you know how I got saved? Because somebody went out and carried the gospel to my house and knocked on the door and said, hey, we're going to talk to you about the Lord. And I said, I like to talk about it. I said, come on in. They had come three times. You know, I finally got saved. They asked me if I'd ever trusted Jesus as my Savior. I told that man yesterday, I said, you know, when I got saved, they asked that question. That's the one I knew about Jesus. I knew all that. I grew up, I didn't know an atheist till I was 17 years old. I didn't even know there was anybody that didn't believe in God. And they just said, you know, and this man asked me, have you ever asked Jesus to forgive you of your sin coming to your heart? I said, no. I ain't the sharpest tack in the box, but I said, that's what you need to do, man. I need to get saved. I knew it. And I got saved, and, you know, thank God for that. So, but they focused on the task is what I'm trying to get you to. I know I got off on a sidetrack. They focused on the task. They brought the gospel to me, and that's what we need to do is focus on the task, man. Listen, go out and find the lost, man, and and take the gospel to them. And, you know, if you get your mind on the Lord's work, I'm going to tell you what, you won't have time to look at Facebook. You won't have time to look at the news. You won't have time to be afraid about nothing because you're going to be doing God. And he said, what? I'm going to be with you, right? I mean, so that's all we need to know. So we see the power right there. And then the last thing we see the protection in verse 10. He said, no man shall set on thee to hurt thee. You know, listen, man thinks he rules. That's the problem. There is a saying that says man rules and God overrules. Man just thinks he rules. Listen, God rules and God overrules in a lot of things. And you know, as far as the election goes and as corrupt as a nation, this is my biggest fear. This is the only fear, and it's not a, I just say it as a fear this way. I'm just praying that God won't give us what we deserve. That's my fear. Listen, because if God gives us what we deserve, and I know it's grace, it's always grace, 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 but sometimes you reap what you sow too. The law of reaping and sowing is at play. And man, listen, if God gives us what we deserve, and I'm just talking about even the Christians, man, as much as we've neglected the Word of God, neglected prayer meetings, neglected witnessing to people in the world, that's why the world's like it is, and let prayer get taken out and the rules and laws that got passed, and oh man, I mean, the list goes on, we'd be here forever. You know, if God gives us what we deserve, man, listen, we're going down the drain right there, but I'm praying for grace and mercy. But I thought about this, and this is what encouraged me when I looked at this message right here, is that God, you know, God had much people in the city. He said, Paul, you go in there and preach, there's much people. I got people that's going to get saved. Well, you know what? There's much people in this nation right here, even in this city. There's people in Buckhannon right here, as little old rinky-dink as we are out here in rural America, which I love rural America, trust me. But as small as we are and spread out, there's much people that need to be saved right here in Botetourt County, right here in Buckhannon. There's people that got to be saved. And so God's got people, and he knows who's going to be saved, and so he's got them. And in this nation as a whole, there's millions of Christians in this country, millions of Christians. Man, they said 54 million didn't even vote last election. Good grief. So how many million of them are there, you know, if there's 54 million that didn't vote? And so God's got people, and those that are already saved, he's got much people, and he's got those that are going to be saved. And so I have confidence in that fact right there, and I'm praying that we can, you know, still have the liberty and freedom, because it's going to get to where, man, the next thing that's going to happen, I'm a prophet, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. As the world waxes worse and worse, it already happened in Canada, it'll happen here. They're going to put a restriction on what I can preach out of the Word of God. They're going to restrict us from preaching against homosexuality. That'll be the first thing that'll happen. And you mark it down. You already can't do it in Canada. And it'll come down here. That'll be the thing that'll happen. And no matter what's in the Word of God. So, a lot of us are going to get locked up probably for preaching the truth. Because we're on Facebook and World Wide Web, and I was on the radio for years, man alive. God's got a plan. Listen, he's got an agenda, man, and if we just get on board with what God's got for us to do, listen, we don't have time to worry about nothing else. And God used a man, another man I spoke about, to defend Paul, and that's just the way God will work. You know, because, and I believe this, I know in the end that good is going to defeat evil. I know that. Now, what happens in between, I'm not sure, but I know that God wants good over evil. I know that. I understand that. That's God's will. God is for goodness. So I just rest assured in that. I'm gonna go that way. God's for it. When you look at the Apostle Paul and his ministry and his life, I mean, for preaching the gospel, he had been whipped, he had been beaten, he had been stoned, left for dead one time, he was imprisoned, he was shipwrecked two or three times in a shipwreck. And then just now the Jews had rejected him. It said the Jews rejected him. He shook the dust off his raiment, said he was going to take the gospel to the Gentiles. And right there, the Lord spoke to him. Now you got to think, we look at these guys in the Bible and we think, oh man, them guys are super saints. I mean, Paul, the apostle. Listen, man, he had feelings just like you and me. He had feelings just like you and me. Maybe he was about to quit. Maybe after all that, he was just about to quit. When he looked at the overwhelming, the vastness of the work, the corruption in the city, he'd already been beat to death, half to death, several times. He just a few chapters back, he had been imprisoned in Philippi, led that Philippian jailer to the Lord. Maybe that had happened to him. I mean, he'd had a lot of things along the way. Now his own people rejected what he had to say. Wouldn't you feel like quitting? I mean, maybe he was about to give up, and maybe he was just overwhelmed by that corruption. And like I say, maybe he looked at the statistics and said, you know, what's the use? Right then, that the Lord spoke to him in a vision by night. He said, fear not, or be not afraid. Same thing. Be not afraid. That's what he said to him. And he said, speak. He said, hold not thy peace, for I'm with thee. No harm's going to fall on thee. Man, that's an encouraging word from God right there, right? You know, listen, God knows your heart. God knows your heart just like he knew Paul's heart. From that moment on, Paul just focused on the task at hand. Instead, he went on and preached for a year and a half, stayed in that corrupt city for a year and a half, preaching the word of God. Jews didn't want to hear it. Gentiles did. Some of the Gentiles did. He was filled with courage. Man, listen, I am with thee. Man, that's a hallelujah point right there. I mean, I am with thee. What else, was there to worry about? Huh? I mean, what's to worry about? Lord is with me. I love it in there where the Bible says that Jesus told Peter, he said, Peter, I have prayed for thee. I have prayed for thee. I know he prays for me. Man, that's an encouraging word right there. What can't you do if the Lord is with you and the Lord's praying with you? You know, when we're at his disposal, he is with us. He's got much people in the city. He knows what's going on in America. He knows what's going on in the world. He knows about the COVID. It hasn't caught him off guard. He knows about the election. That hasn't caught him off guard. He knows about everything. He knows about all the corruption. He knows what's going on. But you know what? His church is still here. His church is still here. His people are still here. Beat, battered, whipped sometimes, dejected, discouraged. But we're still here. You know what? And God's still got a plan. God's still got a purpose. I told that man on the phone the other day, I said, you know, when you first talked to me, you said, sorry that I didn't get back to you sooner. And I said, nah. I said, today's the day. Today was the day. It was a Saturday. I said, today's the day that God had appointed for you to talk to me. It wasn't an accident. He said, I believe that. He said, I believe that. That's the truth. I mean, listen, it's now. It's not an accident that we're here. It's not an accident that we got the Word of God. It's not an accident that everything is the way it is. You listen, God's got a plan. And I told that guy, I said, look, man, this, you're right there, man. Your background, you've told me. You're a thinking man. You're thinking about this. You've got questions. He had questions. I answered some of his questions, I hope. I said, you're thinking about it. It's the same way with everybody. You know, we're here. And today's the day, you know. Today's the day of salvation. That's it. When you hear the gospel message and you... God spoke to your heart. You need to be saved. Paul, you come on. We're going to have an invitation. God spoke to your heart this morning. Maybe you got fear. Maybe you're worrying too much. You know, worrying too much is a sin. Maybe you're worrying about things. Listen, put your faith and trust in God. Maybe you see yourself like me. One day you say, you know what? I never have asked Jesus to come into my heart and forgive me of my sins. I don't know what he's going to do with all the rest of it, but I didn't either. But maybe that's what you need to do. You know, you just need to be saved. Trust the Lord. I mean, that's what I did, man. Like I say, it took me a while. I was 32. Thank God somebody came to my house and shared the gospel with me. Just went from there. Who knew what God would do? Who knew? And who knows what God can do with your life? Somebody that's sold out to God, man, give your life to the Lord. Right there. If you need to be saved, you come. You just want to come out here and pray. Invitation. Time.